all the saints of God, we gather today, little, big, old, young, here we are. And it's a great day to be part of the family of God. A long time ago, when I was still a congregational pastor, an associate pastor in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, my parents came to visit one time, and they knew that we had relatives living in Northfield, Minnesota, and I suggested, let's make a drive. Go have lunch with them, have a little visit, and come back home. Round trip, it was maybe a 5-hour, 6-hour trip, depending on how fast I drove. So we went, and we had lunch, and after the visit there at their home, I suggested to them that we go to the cemetery at Holden, Minnesota, where some of my father's relatives are buried. My parents agreed. My great aunt and uncle thought that was a terrific idea. And so we did. We made our way there, on our way actually back to Sioux Falls. It's a small country church there in Holden, marks the community center just as many of those Midwestern communities do. And adjacent to the church, there's a graveyard. And that's where my relatives were buried, but we didn't know where. Fortunately for us, there was a caretaker that morning who was out raking leaves or trimming the lawn or whatever it was he was doing. And so we stopped to ask him if he happened to know where my great-great-grandparents and others were. And he said he thought he did. So he took us along and showed us the way, and eventually we found the grave markers that we were looking for. As we passed by some of the other markers there, I saw some Lutheran names I recognized, whose names are also on buildings at St. Olaf College and Luther Seminary. It was kind of a holy moment to be there in that place. After pausing to honor our ancestors, we went into the church itself. It was rather simply decorated, as only Midwestern Norwegian Lutherans can do. They're rather understated people a lot of times. But the building there was testimony to generations of folks who over time had come to hear the word of God and receive the sacraments faithfully, year in, year out, generation after generation. The building had wonderful acoustics, no carpet to absorb the sound, nice hardwood floors, polished really well, and up in front near the chancel, there was a piano. So I made my way to the piano, opened the hymnal to sing a song that I knew, to play a song that I knew, and began playing. And then I noticed my great uncle Kenneth across the room was just weeping. Tears were streaming down his face. At first, I thought it was the way I was playing. It could have been that, but it wasn't. He apparently was really touched by the song that I had chosen. The first stanza says, "Behold the host arrayed in white, like thousand snow-clad mountains bright, that stand with palms and sings its psalms before the throne of light. These are the saints who kept God's word. They are the honored of the Lord. He is their prince who drowned their sins so they were cleansed, restored. They now serve God both day and night. They sing their songs in endless light. Their anthems ring when all they sing with angels shining bright." I'm pretty sure my uncle was reminded of his Norwegian roots through that tune by Edvard Grieg. Second son of Olaf and Louise, I'm pretty sure he also remembered his older brother's funeral, at which that same song was sung. Surrounded by friends that populated that cemetery outside the church, I'm pretty sure he also connected this family visit with the tight cord of unity that existed across time and distance. And I'm pretty sure he recognized the saints living and dead together in some holy mystical union with Christ, to whom he had dedicated his life's work and with whom he trusted he would spend eternity. I'm not sure what exactly went on in his mind that day, but suffice it to say, he was deeply touched on many levels: spiritual, emotional, familial, theological. His tears expressed what he couldn't say of his own loves and losses, his fears and tribulations. For sure, those tears of my great uncle Kenneth told of his faith in the God who held him close. That's a potent memory for me, and it's a big story from our family. But I use it only to illustrate one dimension of the breadth and depth of God's love and grace. A more current and compelling story, in a way, is what just happened Monday. I don't know if you were up as early as I was that day. Maybe you were earlier. But did you turn on to see the live stream telecast from Lund, Sweden? I did. 6:30 in the morning, afternoon their time. On the 499th anniversary of Luther's call to dialogue over the abusive system of indulgences, Reverend Dr. Martin Junge, General Secretary of the Lutheran World Federation, and Pope Francis met together in that cathedral with representatives of each denomination to pray together. Of agreement, where we find ourselves agreeing with each other. And they pledged, furthermore, to continue that work that began 50 years ago to an unknown destination in an unknown future. It was a marvelous service, historic, momentous, awe-inspiring, affectionate, hopeful, healing. I almost felt like I was right there. All these adjectives I'm putting out were adequate but not quite fully descriptive of what we saw, what was going on. Because what inspired me the very most about that was not these giants of faith that were there praying and agreeing and talking and sermonizing, but what serves for me as the best memory of that common prayer liturgy was the global nature of its gathering. As the camera panned across the crowd and into the choir, what you saw was women and men, young and old, many languages, colors, ethnicities, diverse in background, costume, and tradition, all together sharing the common language of the gospel and praying together before the one true God, under this great cathedral's dome that depicts Christ risen and reigning. Here were the saints of God. Here were them and us, the church on earth, frail but faithful, connected to a history that extends way back before our time and will go way forward after the point where we are just dust. And there they were, bearing witness to the reconciliation, mercy, and grace for which the church has been called into being. It was a great prelude to All Saints' Day. Some of you have heard that I'll be traveling to Rome later this month by invitation of the Vatican, go figure, to a congress for the pastoral care of international students. Believe me, this came way out of the blue. I would never, ever have imagined this. One of the most exciting aspects of the trip, you think, is meeting Pope Francis himself. Well, that's going to be good stuff, and I look forward to that. Some of it will be learning a lot about what others are doing for the care and keeping of international students on their campuses across the globe. But for me, actually, I think the highlight is going to be meeting students who are studying abroad, who will share with us from their own faith perspective what holds them strong when they're far away from home. I'm looking forward to those conversations and what they have to teach me. There in Rome, ancient city and religious center, I know I will sense the faith and the foibles of a long, unbroken line of Christian followers. There, with those students, I will hear firsthand of the faith that helps them live today and keeps them whole. And there, under the steady arches of what has been, I will contemplate the saints who are yet to be, the ones who will be born we don't even know, who will carry the gospel into the future. Today, you and I gather in this place for worship and contemplation. We are but one small thread in a large cord of time. We are here at just one of history. I can only hope that you sense in some small way that we here in Corvallis, Oregon, are part of an unbroken strand of destiny. Across time and eternity, we are connected with ancestors who have gone before us in faith and those who will bear witness to that faith long after we are not. This day of all days, I submit that we remember and rejoice the faith we bear, the hope to which we cling, and the love which has been poured into our hearts, by which God's grace is manifest in compassion through us for the sake of others. Rejoice, brothers and sisters, and be glad, for ours is the kingdom of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.